This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Allison Keyes in Washington. The nation isn't done with severe weather yet this weekend, even as survivors of the deadly storms that ripped through states, including Florida and Texas, are cleaning up. Kelly Cass at the Weather Channel says some places are scorching hot.
The heat is also something we're dealing with in Texas. We're talking heat indices well up into the triple digits, with heat advisories and excessive heat warnings in effect. Severe storm threat will continue for Father's Day. In the red, you can see Arkansas down into Louisiana and Mississippi.
President Biden on a campaign trail in Philadelphia, counting on unions to make him attractive to middle-class voters. CBS's Christina Ruffini reports he's picking up more support.
Earlier this week, the president picked up an endorsement from four national environmental groups.
Your work has never been more important than it is today.
And he's expected to get a major labor union endorsement ahead of the Philadelphia speech.
Every major labor union in the country is endorsing me.
Mr. Biden also got an aerial tour of that collapsed section of I-95. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro says that critical section of the roadway will be fixed soon.
I can state with confidence that we will have I-95 reopened within the next 2 weeks.
UPS drivers may be headed out on strike if no agreement is reached before the contract between the company and the Teamsters expires July 31st.
Your driver, the one you love, the one that strives to give you the service every day, the one that you see that brings you the medication, that brings you the food, the person that's actually kind of become, believe it or not, a part of these customers' lives.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is on a mission in high-level talks with China. CBS's Face the Nation moderator Margaret Brennan with what's at stake.
China's military has pulled off what the U.S. has called unnecessarily aggressive tactics. Two close calls, one in the South China Sea with a fighter jet and another in the Taiwan Strait with a warship. President Biden has largely continued the direction of the Trump-era policies. Both accused China of economic coercion, alleged that Beijing did not share information about the first COVID outbreak, and denounced the Communist Party's human rights abuses, including genocide against Muslim minorities.
In Uganda, militants linked to the Islamic State killed at least 41 people at a school and abducted six others in an attack. The military says they found the bodies of those killed when they arrived at the school, and its forces are pursuing the attackers who fled toward a park in the Democratic Republic of Congo. The state-run newspaper says 38 of the victims were students, and some died when the militants set off a bomb as they fled. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson and Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The American Heart Association is reminding people that hot summer weather can put extra stress on your heart and increase the risk of death. Deborah Van Fleet reports.
Dr. Peter Panagis at Washington University School of Medicine in St. Louis says the increased risk is most notable for people with cardiovascular disease.
And that would be ischemic heart disease due to narrowing of the arteries, stroke, heart failure, or arrhythmias or abnormal heart rate.
Panagis says simple steps can help prevent heat-related illness. Avoid being outdoors during the hottest time of the day, between noon and 3 p.m. Wear lightweight, light-colored clothing, a hat, and sunglasses. Stay hydrated and apply sunscreen frequently. He recommends taking breaks from the sun and cooling down with fluids and water if experiencing lightheadedness, cramps, or other symptoms of overheating. He adds, never leave children or pets in a parked car on hot days. The human body is well adapted for temperature regulation in hot conditions, Panagis says, but less so in infants, young children, and adults over 65. And he notes some widely used medications can interfere with this regulatory process.
Especially individuals with heart disease, high blood pressure, who take certain medications which are very common, such as medications for depression, insomnia, or the inability to sleep, or for general conditions of poor circulation.
Heat-related illnesses exist on a spectrum, from sunburn and heat cramps to heat exhaustion and, worst of all, heat stroke.
And that's a sudden and progressively increased high body temperature, hot, red, or dry, damp skin, very fast, strong pulse, headache, dizziness, nausea, vomiting, and most importantly, passing out or loss of consciousness.
He cautions that heat stroke, while rare, is very serious and can be fatal. I'm Deborah Van Fleet.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell.
When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
It's great to be here to speak directly to the woke mob.
The liberals have basically made up this whole agenda that guacamole is made of avocados. It's not the truth.
Ticked off, tee off, this is it.
Scobody boom boom. Scobody dog.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time, this is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada, yada, yada.
Hello, Wisconsin!
When will it ever, ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security? 844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Is it ever going to be the right time to start to raise the age of Social Security when you think about the cost of that program? You think about people are living longer. But at any given moment, the people who are in the, you know, within the 10-year range of being eligible are going to fight like hell to make sure that that doesn't happen. And so, is there ever going to be a time to do this that it's going to be like, all right, yep, this is the right thing to do? I would love to hear from you, 844-967-2789. And we already have a comment right out of the gate.
Excellent.
On the Facebook live stream from John Fenner. Never.
Okay, then. Thank you, John. I like that succinctness.
Yes. And so, Jane Manera, I will ask you first, since you are within that...
Couple years away.
So you obviously would not want this now, but do you think that there would ever be a palatable time to make this change?
No, I really don't. And no, are we going to expect, we really expect people to work until they're 70 and 75?
But what if they're living to 110?
Okay.
I'm just saying.
I know, but I don't, if we all age the same... If we all kept our faculties at the same rate, if we all physically broke down at the same rate, but we don't.
Yeah.
And I'm sure we've talked to people who are retired but are still working because they like to be busy. One of my sisters is semi-retired, and she has been for a while, but she likes to do 20 hours a week.
Mm-hmm.
But she's 73. She doesn't want to go back to work full time.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone is ever going to say, yep, let's raise it to 80.
I agree with you. But it's like, so the background here is yesterday, a panel of 3/4 of the House Republican caucus released a budget proposal, and included in it is a provision that would raise the Social Security retirement age from 67 to 69. So it would gradually raise Social Security's full retirement age. So that's the age. I'm sure I don't have to explain this to a fair amount of people out there, but bear with me. the age at which people are eligible for full Social Security benefits to 69. So the current level is 67 for those born in 1960 or later. And so slight increase. And the way I understand this is there's not actually one... Like, when we talk about the retirement age, there's actually, like, 96 retirement ages. So there's one for each month between the ages of 62 and 70. And so what people call the full retirement age is just a placeholder in a formula that determines the benefit level at any one of those like months. So the 96 retirement ages. So people who retire at the full retirement age receive 100% of their primary insurance amount. And so that's what they're saying would go from 67 to 69. And, you know, this is not the first time that they've talked about this. It's, you know, I didn't see a lot of coverage of this proposal getting released yesterday. So it's obviously very early versus it being like a big splashy news story. But it just, for me, raised the question again, like, is it ever going to be...
Everybody's going to get on board with this.
Yeah, because especially as you think about a lot of the people who vote for Republicans are older. And who among them is going to be like, yep, this is a good idea. Unless, I guess, if they're already wealthy, and I'm going to get to that in a minute, because and have their retirement secure so they're not really worried about Social Security. But 844-967-2789, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security?
Beverly from Richland Center is on the line. Hey, Beverly, what do you think?
I think 65 is fine. I don't think it should go up any higher than that. And you know, the Republicans saying that, you know, we've got to increase the age because it's going insolvent. There are so many other ways to solve that problem. Even Chris Christie the other night in his town hall said, you know, millionaires and the rich people, they probably don't need their Social Security. You know, why should we have to pay them?
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of changes that could be made.
Absolutely. Besides raising the age, you think there's other places to be looking at besides keep bringing up this point?
Oh, sure. It's just like the Republicans say we've got to keep cutting and keep cutting and keep cutting, rather than saying maybe we should increase taxes. It's the same level of argument.
Absolutely. So your answer is like John's, where it's never.
And mine. I'm with you on that, Beverly. I just don't think.
Yeah. And, you know, think about the fact that who in the country does most of the volunteering?
Yeah.
You know, it's the people who are able to retire and then they go out and volunteer. They don't stop working, but they volunteer and support their communities. You know, so you want people to work until they're dead, and who does the volunteer work?
You make really good points, Beverly, and I agree with you certainly about the income issue. Why should someone who's worth $1 billion get Social Security?
What do you think they even do with it?
Yeah. It can't even be the amount of the interest that they make.
I know. Thanks for the call, Beverly.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. David from Mequon. What do you think, David?
Well, to kind of rebut a little bit at your previous caller, so even billionaires that collect Social Security currently and multimillionaires, there's a cap as to the amount of money that, you know, the max amount of Social Security benefit that any individual can get. So it's not like it's like you get an unlimited check for Social Security. I can't remember what it is. I think it's like $3,700 a month or something. So even a billionaire, that's the max amount that they can get as far as Social Security is concerned. And if you look at what's happening in Europe, you know, France is in the same predicament, but they actually have a much lower retirement age.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the question is this, is that, you know, people are living longer. And when you live longer, you're going to have to work a little bit longer, unfortunately. Now, some of the people now, like my mom, unfortunately, she died before she could even collect a check with Social Security. And so she paid into that for 30 some odd years and she didn't see a nickel. You know, we got a $255 death benefit, for her, passing away before she could even collect anything. So you have these issues where, yes, people are, you know, kicking in and what have you. But the same token, we have to realize that when Social Security and Medicare and all that other stuff was put together, they really didn't, they didn't, it wasn't like some crazy formula that they came up with, like, okay, we're going to start initially at 65. They literally picked that out of the air.
Yeah.
And at that time, 65 was, you know, back then, much different than 65 is today, because obviously people can live a lot longer, where they could live into the 90s and 100 or so.
Yeah.
So we have to kind of keep that in perspective, too.
So do you think that there's a time, like if we set it 20 years from now, so people like people who are in their 40s now would know that by the time they're 65, it's actually going to be 70. Do you feel like that would be palatable, or like how much of a grace period do you think if we were ever going to change the age, you'd have to give people as far as to like mitigate their expectations of this is what I'm this is the age that I'm working till?
Well, you know, they have this life expectancy whole thing going on now with, you know, different age groups. If you're born, you're 2000, you should live to, you know, automatically like 80 years old or whatever it is. I forgot what it is. But, you know, again, I think we have to look, I'm not sure what that, you know, how that number gets associated with. The one thing I would recommend, though, one thing that I think is frustrating. So my dad is 87. Okay, he collected Social Security well before he was in full retirement age.
Okay,
the thing for him though that stinks is that, you know, he's taxed on his Social Security. Again, even though he paid into it, that is considered taxable income, which is, that's nuts. I think that's really a huge disservice to people that are retiring. Well, we're going to tax you for this. And then that's why people are moving to, you know, like the Floridas of the world, the Texas and, you know, places like that, because at the state level, at least you're not going to get nicked, but at the federal level, you will.
Yeah.
So in the state of Wisconsin, you know, that is why you see a lot of retirees don't want to stick around Wisconsin and they move to a state where they're not going to be penalized for collecting Social Security.
Absolutely. Thanks so much for the
Thanks
call,
a lot,
David.
Dave. Appreciate it. 844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY, if you want to check in.
You know what? This is a totally different tangent and probably something I'd have to research a lot more. But as David just mentioned, and they've talked about this, many people have talked about this, as far as, you know, first it starts with snowbirds and people who retire to different places because of income taxes and stuff like that. But simultaneously, is that not transferring, and I'm going to say this carefully because I'm not trying to make it sound, but like the aging health burden, as we talk about boomers aging, and I know, I don't know the number off the top of my head, but there's like predictions out there as far as like what the Alzheimer's is going to cost the U.S. in the next 20 years because of the amount of people who are aging. And so I think it would be interesting to look at like prediction models as far as where the migrating retiring age and like what that could potentially do to the health systems in those states. But that's a totally different topic. And so before I go down that rabbit hole, we're going to go back to the question, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And we will take your calls when we come back. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's
That's right, 1 month of free advertising.
This incredible offer ends June 30th.
Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. The Tap.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Madnair. And we are asking the question, when will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security? Because yesterday, a panel of the House Republican Caucus released a budget proposal. And in it, there was a provision that would raise the Social Security retirement age. And so basically, it would specifically the Social Security's full retirement age, and it would raise it gradually from 67, where it is currently, to 69. And there was a bunch of other things in there that I don't feel like getting into today. But as far as this question that continues to feel like it pops up, that is never to a certain group that is close to that age, it is always going to be
no.
No.
Yes.
Like, don't do that.
Right.
And so I don't, like, what is the solution as far as, is this ever going to be a thing that people are, the majority of people are going to be like, yeah, that makes sense. 844-967-2789.
Randy from Waukesha is on the line. Hey, Randy, what do you think?
Well, as far as the age going up, yeah, that's a good point. But the reason I called was because your previous caller said that we get taxed on our Social Security, only federal. In Wisconsin, we don't get taxed on Social Security income.
So when did you start collecting, Randy?
When I was 62, I got laid off. And I wasn't going to find comparable employment then, mm-hmm. but I knew I could work part-time and do things. So I went ahead and started collecting at 62. My original thinking was to work till 70 for that bigger amount of money, until my brother pointed out to me, when you get to all that bigger money, first you got to make up all the money you left on the table by not collecting earlier. Which is why, you know, I changed my thoughts on that.
Interesting.
I wasn't gonna wait till I was 70. But if they have to raise it, they have to raise it. We're not all in the same condition at 60 years old or 70 years old. Some of us are in pretty good shape. Some of us are hurting pretty bad.
Yeah, yep. Definitely.
But you're saying, as someone who's been paying into it or who has been getting your payments, you don't pay taxes on it in Wisconsin?
Not in Wisconsin.
Oh, there we go.
Okay, thank you so much. Thank you so much for calling, Randy. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Texter from the 414 First, there are many people in very physical professions who either can't or for whom it would be very hard to keep working. The most obvious solution is to actually have everyone pay at the same rate. Once you've reached a certain income level, you don't pay anymore. Social Security is a group pension plan that's supposed to be for everyone. Everyone should pay at the same rate, just like most such plans.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And also from the 414, life expectancy is actually going down in the U.S.
Yes. And as far as what I understand, as far as life expectancy, the age group that it's actually bringing it down right now, well, one, it was COVID. And so it'll be interesting to see, as COVID is still obviously an issue. It is not the top issue anymore. But with the age expectancy is going down because of opioid overdoses. And so that is a much younger group.
Yes.
That is dying of overdoses, that is bringing down the average, as far as I understand that statistic to be interpreted as. But it is a good point. We got a message from Mike Van Sumeren on the YouTube live stream. Social Security became taxable under Reagan as part of the tax cuts he passed for the wealthy. He had to fill a revenue shortfall, which is why he taxed seniors and their Social Security. Oh, Reagan.
St. Ronnie. St. Ron. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Dave from West Bend on the line. Hey, Dave.
Hi. Just a couple of comments real quick. With taxing in the state of Wisconsin, isn't there a... Don't you have to make like a certain amount of social or collect a certain amount of Social Security before it can be taxed? I think there's probably some people that aren't really generating that much income from their Social Security where they're not taxed.
Well, we just heard from Randy saying that in Wisconsin, you don't get taxed on your Social Security.
But you do from the Fed.
But that you do from the federal. For your federal yeah, income taxes, you do get taxed, but not on the state level as far as the income tax.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't think there's a one size fits all for retirement. We probably all know some people that when you talk to them about retiring, it's like you're talking a foreign language. It could be somebody that really enjoys their job or their business that they've developed, and stopping work is they plan on working until they die. Everybody's not like that. But overall, I think that the retirement age should either stay the age that it is or lower it.
Or lower it. Interesting.
That's never going to happen, Dave.
I started collecting when I was 62. I never really had any jobs that I really was in love with. I couldn't wait. And I also... fortunately, I've been able to avoid working part-time. I mean, working for 35, 40 years was enough for me.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much, Dave.
Thanks for the call, Dave. We got to go to another break, but let us know. Will it ever be palatable to raise the age of Social Security, even if you're, 20 years from now, as much as things change? But every time they bring this up, it feels like there's some group that's going to get screwed over. So is there ever going to be a time where this is, feasible? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. We'll be back in a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Thanks for listening to your local Civic Media radio station. Learn more on our website, civicmedia.us.
CBS News Brief. President Biden holding his first official campaign rally in Philadelphia months after formally tossing his hat in the ring for re-election.
I'm looking forward to this campaign. I want you to know why. Because you've got a story to tell. We've got a story to tell. We've got a record to run on.
Dangerous weather headed to the plains tonight, and there is possible hail and storms headed for Oklahoma's panhandle. KWTV meteorologist Andrew Adam.
But as they continue to the east and also to the southeast, will notice they form into a line. And when they do that, the obvious concern is going to be the straight line damaging wind gusts, 70 to 80 miles per hour.
Some good news for drivers along the East Coast that have been dealing with that collapsed section of I-95 in Philly. Governor Josh Shapiro says it will reopen in 2 weeks.
We are going to get traffic moving again, thanks to the extraordinary work that is going on here by these union trades workers.
CBS News Brief. I'm Allison Keyes.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Walks, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation. The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Walks has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Walks, 855-954-1186. 954-1186. The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Know anybody who's been an economist, a lawyer on Wall Street, but is from just down the street? Worked in the public sector for over a decade? Won a rugby national championship and played in Carnegie Hall? Well, I do. It's me. Come tune in to The Maggie Dawn Show, where those who know want to go.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Do you get sick of the news? Wonder what it's all about and why it matters to you? Tired of the talking heads? Want to move beyond talking points? For those that want to know, there's only one place to go, and that's The Maggie Dawn Show. Come listen to a pragmatist that gets beyond the politics.
The Maggie Dawn Show, Mondays through Thursdays at 6 p.m. on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere. And as you might imagine, I have been thinking about names.
Baby names.
A fair amount. And naming a kid, as they say, you'll never realize how many people you didn't like in high school until you try to name a child.
And then something that the two of you can agree on.
Something that the two of us can agree on. And there's also, you know, I would say an increased amount, and this is not new, of a desire to have, you know, an individual name, you know, a name that hasn't necessarily been that popular or that trendy, so you don't end up with a bunch of kids with the same, but you thought was a unique name, but it's like, oh, you were not alone in thinking that that was like Harper, I think is some of the really popular ones right now. But also, like, what is too far?
Too unique.
What is too unique? And, you know, that is a subjective statement to each their own. But as far as just having the conversations around, like, did you personally grow up with a very unique name? And if so, we would love to hear from you as far as what that was like, how much that did create and part of your identity of having a really unique name. And if not, if you are a Jane or a Kristen, pretty standard, you know, names.
Pretty basic names.
What is the most unique name you've come across in your travels? 844-967-2789. That's 844-96-PARTY. And, you know, I said this the other day. I really, this will probably not be the name, so I don't feel bad saying it on air. But I like the name Penelope.
Okay.
And to call her Penny.
Okay.
But Mike doesn't like that name. But I said that to one of my girlfriends, and she said something along the line. She's like, I like that because it's like unique enough, but it's not like scarring. And the story that always pops up for me, and this could be an urban legend at this point, because this feel like this is a story that is like three people removed. But my mom always told this story about her friend who had another friend who worked as a like physician's assistant or one of the nurses in a pediatrician's office. And she went out for a new patient and she looked at the names of the kids to bring in. And she was like,
She didn't know how to pronounce
them. She thought she knew, but she was like, this can't be it. So then she tentatively and like, you know, she just kind of like graciously said orange jello and yellow jello. And the mom stood up and said Arangelo and Yolangelo. And she was like, okay, got it. And so, you know, but it looked like on their patient sheets, orange jello and yellow jello. But no, it was Arangelo and Yolangelo.
Wow.
And so, and I, another really good one is how would you pronounce L hyphen A?
La.
LaDasha.
Okay.
Because it's a dash.
Oh.
So, would love to hear some of the most unique names. And this is not to make fun of unique names, because there's also some that are, you know, when we think of Gwyneth Paltrow naming her kid Apple.
Which is a stupid name.
You're going to be judgmental. I knew you were going to be judgy about that.
That is such a stupid name.
I'm not here to be judgmental, but I do want to talk about the effects of having such a unique name, the good and the bad. 844-967-2789. Do you have a unique name, and what was it like to grow up with it? Or would love to hear stories of unique names you have come across in your life. 844-96-PARTY.
Joining us from Texas, it's Price.
Hey there.
Hey, Price.
Is Price, would you consider Price a super unique name? Did you get made fun of it growing up?
Like Price is Right?
Yeah.
That's what I got all my life.
Did you ever come up with a good comeback?
I just sigh. I just say, yes. It's kind of funny when they do the, you know, when they do the Billy, not Billy Madison, but Happy Gilmore, the Price is Wrong.
The price is wrong, B.
Right. But actually down here, like the E-I-G-H names are off the hook. People do that way too much. Like Kate. People are spelling their names K-E-I-G-H-T down here. Caitlin, K-E-I-G-H-T-L-I-N-N, L-Y-N-N-L-Y-N. And former and disgraced Packer Brett Favre, his like daughter's name is like Braylon, and her name's B-R-E-I-G-H-L-E-N or something like that. But
and I think there's something with that. It's like having a a name that is fairly common, but then just giving it a super unique spelling that's almost more egregious because it's like no one is ever going to spell that kid's name right because they're going to assume it's the other way.
Right. I've seen a Bailey. B B-E-I-G-H-L-E-E.
Oh, gosh.
Like, come on.
Come on. But do you like your name now? Like, maybe as a kid, was it hard?
Yeah,
but now
yeah,
it's...
When I was a kid, it was tough. Like, hey, how much do you cost? LOL. And I go, okay. But yeah, I mean, the older I get, and then you see, back in the 80s, there was a Price that was a race car driver. An old governor of Texas was actually a Price Daniel, and he wasn't the best, but at least he was like a water conservationist, so I was on board with that.
There you go. Awesome. Thanks so much for the call, Price.
That's great. Awesome. 844-967-2789. 844-96-PARTY. Carol from Madison is joining us. Hey, Carol, thanks for calling.
Sure.
So do you, I'm guessing you, Carol is not that uncommon, but do you have an uncommon name that you've come across in your life?
Yeah, I have a cousin whose father was Greek and his parents actually came over from Greece, and her name was Chrysanthi.
Chrysanthi.
And it was spelled C-H-R-Y-S-A-N-T-H-E.
God, the Greeks love their consonants.
Yes. That's a pretty name, though.
It is really pretty. What did she have a nickname then that she went by?
She grew up being called Santhi, but now she just goes by Chris and spells it C-H-R-Y-S.
Did she struggle with that as far as growing up here with such an ethnic sounding name?
She actually grew up in La Crosse, and yeah, when she could tell when teachers got to her name, you know, like first name and last name were both ethnic. So it was, she said she, when she saw them just kind of looking, she would say it's.
Yeah. Like it's the pregnant pause of being like, yeah. It's Chrysanthi. I got you. I know I'm probably next because it's alphabetical. That's really interesting. I think that brings up a whole other conversation. Thanks so much for the call, Carol. As far as unique names that are cultural, like not unique in the culture that they come from.
Sure.
But being first generation, you come here and people look at your name. Like I think of my some friends and like it just looks like a lot of consonants. And like once you learn how to say it, it's like we all can
it's
say
not a problem.
We can all say Antetokounmpo now, right?
More or less.
But like for the most part, we can all say his name because we've just practiced it enough. But when you first look at it, you're like,
whoa.
What order do these consonants and these sounds? Talk about learning how to read phonetically. You're like, is this the right way that I'm supposed to do it?
Seriously.
But like your parents think it's a very normal name because that's the culture that they come from. But yet then when you come here growing up in America and feeling like, oh, I'm just going to have a different nickname so everyone can pronounce my name correctly.
Just call me Bob.
Yeah.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. Jeff from Milwaukee. Hey, Jeff, what do you want to share with us?
Hey, Kristen. Hey, Jane. So my best friend from grade school, who I'm still friends with since, like, we were five and we're in our late 50s, my buddy's got an older brother. He's a hippie farmer from rural Stevens Point, and he and his sister-in-law had three kids in the late 70s, two boys and a girl. They named their first boy Forgiveness, and
okay.
Then the second boy's name was Deliverance, and then their girl, their daughter's name was Amnesty. And those are still, to this day, the oddest names I've ever heard, and when I see my friend frequently, I'm asking about his nephews and his niece, and he tells me that they go by their first initial and then their middle names, which are common middle names. So that's basically how they got.
Because how old are the kids now?
Well, they were all born between like 78 and 82, so 40.
So they're adults
in that range. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they're all doing really well in life. But they all went through life basically using just like Forgiveness. It was like F, and then William is the middle name, and then their last name. But those are their names: Forgiveness, Deliverance, and Amnesty.
Deliverance is an awful lot to hang around a little kid's neck.
Deliverance, especially because you think of the movie and you're like, "Well, this is a lot." But that is
exactly
that. And do the parents themselves have any regrets of naming their kids that you know of?
No, not at all.
Wow.
No, not at all. They're still hippie farmers. They still live in like Junction City, which is west of Point. And they're in their 70s now, but they're still, you know, they're super proud of what they named their children. It was just kind of their thing.
That is super. Well, at least it's a conversation starter. Thanks so much for the call, yeah. Jeff.
844-967-2789. That is 844-96-PARTY. Did you grow up with an unusual name? Do you know someone? Do you have a favorite unusual name? Rob from Port Edwards joining us. Hey, Rob, what do you want to share?
Good morning. I have three beautiful grandsons. The oldest is going to be 10 here. In August, and they're a span of 3 years. The first one's name is Owen, the second is Otis, and the third is Obi. And there's all reasons for each of their names, you know, that were there's a backstory behind each of the names, but we call them the O.O. brothers, and for the chaos. Yeah, in fact, at one time I built them a workbench, and I made up a placard for the back of the workbench saying the O.O. Brothers demolition on request kind of a thing.
And, oh, I love that.
And they're just little gorillas. Yeah, they look like the names that they are. They're just cool kids.
I feel like you could also call them the O-line, like an offensive line.
Yes, we could. Yes, we could. Yeah, they're remarkable, and they're all the O's, and all three amigos walk to school every day, and it's an instant hockey team.
It's an instant, sure, absolutely. So it's Owen, Otis, and Obi. I like those actually. Yes, Obi is probably the most unique. Yeah. Otis and Owen, I've certainly heard before.
They each are individuals. And their name fits their personality in a offhanded way, but Obi is the charmer. He's Opa's favorite. Don't say that. Don't tell him that.
He's the youngest. Of course.
He's disarming. Yeah, he's six now, and he's amazingly disarming. He can get into the mischief and walk away, you know, with his little angelic halo on, and yeah, we're good.
That's awesome.
Have a lovely day, ladies. Good show.
Have a lovely day, Rob. You too, Rob.
Thank you so much.
That's really funny. I like O-line. I think that's really
O-line
funny.
They're the O-boys. I could see that too. That's all perfect.
So we're talking about I don't think we'll do anything crazy unique. Like, I'm not trying to come up with a name that no one's ever been named before, but you know, having
something a little special.
I actually I'm very partial to, since we know we're having a girl, names that, like, girls' names that also can be shortened to, like, boy nicknames. Like, I have a girlfriend who named her daughter Georgia, and she calls her George.
Okay.
You don't like that? No. You're so judgy.
Yes, I am. And Apple is a stupid name.
It's not a stupid name.
It's a piece of fruit.
I think the name Elon Musk, I can't even pronounce what Elon Musk named his kids.
That's intentional.
And so we would still love to hear from you. Did you grow up with a unique name? Do you know someone with a unique name? What's the balance between individualism and not scarring your children? 844-967-2789. We're going to take one more break. We'll be back in just a minute. This is As Goes Wisconsin.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigby Olson has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council and Pivotal Ventures.
The Todd Alba Show.
We'll be moving to the afternoon, Monday through Friday, 1 until 3. Trigvi Olsen has graciously agreed to follow us into the afternoon. We're going to get to talk about the Lincoln Project and politics in Wisconsin, all across the state of Wisconsin.
I know, isn't that exciting? Where the beer is cold, the cheese curds are squeaky, the Harleys roar, the Eagles soar, and the Packers score, Todd.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekday afternoons from 1 till 3 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
I thought love was only true in fairy tales, and for someone else, but not for me. Our love was out to get me.
Welcome back to As Goes Wisconsin. I am Kristen Bry. She is Jane Matinere, and we are talking about growing up with a unique name or naming your kids something very unique, because I am obviously, one of the five questions everyone asks right now is, how are you feeling? When are you due? Have you started thinking, what is it?
What is it?
Are you finding out the gender? And then inevitably, I forgot what the other one is, but then it's have you started thinking about names? And we have not come up with anything.
We haven't landed yet.
But I would like something unique enough that it's not super common, but also not necessarily so unique that they are
scarred for life.
And so telling stories or asking for your input of what it was like to grow up with a weird name or a unique name, or anyone you know with a unique name.
844-967-2789, 844-96-PARTY. You can call and or text. Andy, joining us from Madison. Hey, Andy, what do you want to say?
Yeah, so I'm hearing your conversation, and we named our kid a fairly unique name, I think. But it's not, I don't think, like, scar-worthy. We named him Hendrix.
Hendrix?
Yeah.
So Hendrix, like Jimi Hendrix.
Yeah.
I actually really like that. Because I like the name Henry. Yeah. I kind of like that.
Yeah, it's close enough. But he's also probably always going to be the only one in his class with a name like that. And so what I've noticed, he's in preschool now. And, like, every kid has a pretty unique name.
Yeah.
You know, like, there's not a whole lot of Johns or Pauls or Peters or anything. It's like... like, one of my friends named their kid Atticus.
That's a classic.
I dated an Atticus, and he was very proud of his name.
Was he really?
Oh, my God. Oh, that's a classic. He was so pretentious.
Just because you're named Atticus doesn't make you Gregory Peck. Nice try.
But I like Hendrix, although once he gets to drinking age, people will probably start asking him if he was named after the gin.
They already do. I didn't really expect that. Like, is it a
TKS
or a heck?
Yeah. Well, very funny. Well, I like that name. I think that's still, it still sounds like a name. Unlike, you know, thanks so much for the call, Andy.
Thanks, Andy.
We kind of stumbled upon this because there was a Vice article talking exactly about this, is what it's like to grow up with a weird name. And they were talking to a kid named, like, someone who's now 27, but someone named Merlin. And all the jokes that they got
Merlin,
as a kid.
Merlin is a tough, tough thing.
Merlin's tough. There was also Gandalf from Holland. They would ask him if he was a wizard and whether or not he'd grow a gray beard.
Well, of course.
They talked to a woman named Plum, who is 19 right now. She said, I hated my name when I was younger because kids are just... a-holes. And she's from New Zealand. Kids would eat plums and say, oh my God, I'm eating you.
Oh.
But there's one guy they talked to named Biker. His name was Biker because his dad loved bikes. And now he loves bikes. And so he made it part of his identity from a young age. And he goes, I probably wouldn't be as into motorcycles without my name. And so I do think that that's interesting as far as, like, if you have a really unique name, how much that comes into, like, a huge part of your identity. Because if you grow up kind of having, you know, I remember, I think one of the first Am I the Sphincters we did was on a young, like, 16 or 17-year-old. And she never said what her actual name is, but she was fighting with her stepmom because her stepmom wanted to, like, rename her from this unique name that her mother had given her. And she, because her mom had died at a young age, like, her name, despite being so unique, was very much, like, associated with her mother.
Sure.
And so it was really funny. I was talking to a girlfriend who her husband's last name is Coley, who's also a good friend of mine. So C-O-L-L-I.
Okay.
And we were talking about baby names. And she's like, well, you could take my favorite name that we didn't. They had just had a daughter and they named her Thea. So T-H-E-A. But her favorite girl name is Eve. And she's like, well, you can take Eve since we didn't get to use that one. And I was like, why didn't you use Eve? And she goes, because of Coley. I was like, what?
Eve Coley.
E. Coli. She's like, you have to think about everything. You have to think of all the different ways that they're going to make fun of your kid.
And what rhymes, like, and what can rhyme with it.
I was like, what 5 and 6, like under 10-year-old knows what E. Coli is?
We have a text from the 920. Johnny Watermelon, who was one of our Pacific Media colleagues. Johnny Watermelon and I have a sister named Juice. And a brother named Red.
No.
Haha. However, I know a woman in Hudson, Wisconsin. Her name is Sunny Dafer Salen.
Sunny? I actually don't mind the name Sunny.
Sunny Dafer Salen.
Oh, Sunny Dafer Salen. Oh my gosh. That's pretty good. That sounds like a Bart Simpson joke. So yeah, I think Siete, there's another one in here. Siete.
Is a number.
She went to a Spanish school in Texas and was mocked for having a name that means seven.
Oh.
But also, like, Siete, I actually think Siete, if you didn't know that it was the number seven in Spanish, kind of sounds nice.
What I find interesting, though, and from what Andy said, you know, in his son's preschool now, there aren't any Johns and Marks and all of those things. So in another 15 years, 20 years, those will be unique.
I think there will still be lots of Johns and
Roberts.
And I don't know. Well, we joked about that. I remember at the beginning of this congressional session when Republicans started taking over, like they took over the House. And so for all the House committees, there was new people who were leading those committees. And there was that story that broke that says there's more men named Mike leading House committees than there are women. And I went on my rampage being married to a Mike,
yep,
and having my best friend named Mike and knowing plenty of other Mikes that
enough Mikes.
There's enough Mikes. There's enough Michaels in the world. We can move on from that name for a little while and everyone will be just fine. There is more names than Michael, John, and Matthew. So yeah, so well, that was fun. I don't know. I didn't get any new name ideas.
Nothing stuck.
Although I do like Hendrix. So, and that maybe not for a girl. Maybe. I don't know. I'll run a bike.
We got some time.
All right. Well, that'll about do it for us today. Thank you for texting. Thank you for calling. Thank you for being part of the show. We'll be back tomorrow. Todd Elbow will be here for our roundup of the week, the best, the worst, and the weirdest of headlines and a little headline game. So come back then, 10 a.m. tomorrow. Otherwise, thanks for being part of the show. This has been As Goes Wisconsin.
Oh, then I saw her face. Now I'm a believer. Not a trace of doubt in my mind.
It's go time at Chula Vista. Time for you to discover Wisconsin's most complete resort experience. 200,000 square feet of water park fun. New thrills like zip line racing. 18 holes of classic golf. Wisconsin's number one steakhouse. Hundreds of newly renovated rooms. Check it out at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Chula Vista Resort is one of the nation's top 10 indoor water parks per USA Today's 2023 Reader's Choice Awards. Find out why at ChulaVistaResort.com.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.